On the recording. Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for January 17th, 2022. Karen, what's up?
I just want to say that I'm learning to be more receptive to the feedback I get in coaching sessions. And I don't know why I'm fussy at the front end when I hear your good ideas.
Oh, you were speaking about me.
Yes, that's funny. And so it's so funny because I sit with it and then I realize, oh yeah, I could do that. It's so funny. So it just opened me up from, this is like from a few sessions ago, but just to resolve this arc. Those were all good ideas that Christine had in the session, everybody. So that's what I wanted to say. And thank you. So that was really helpful.
I'm really glad to hear that. And we're all on our own time. What do they call it? I'm losing the word, but like our own timeline. And I've heard advice once that I didn't take till way later. I've heard advice year after year after year after year from my life coach, which has taken me like 10 years to finally be like, all right, I'll try it. I'll try what you're saying to me. Like literally, she'll attest to that. It happens when it happens. And sometimes we can intellectually understand something conceptually, like that's empirically a good idea, but you don't own it yet, or you haven't integrated into your life. It hasn't fallen from your brain into your gut. And sometimes you can pull it from your brain into your gut by experimenting with it and applying it. And sometimes it just drops. Mm-hmm. One day it just drops and you're like, oh, I know and understand that on a deeper level. So yeah, I mean, that's it. And I'm glad the blessing in life is to go, oh, that thing I heard, it's mine now. And I understand it better. And I think it's good. And I'm going to apply it. I'm a very, I can be fussy at first too. My initial reaction is like, no.
That's but, what I mean. Yeah. It's...
To my life coach, to my husband, like, no. I have to then just kind of like digest it for myself and then come around to it and be like, okay. I get it. I see it now. And I can go back to the person and go, you're totally right. I just didn't see it. Gretchen Rubin. You can go her online. She has
The happiness
project was like her breakthrough thing. But then she divided people into four types.
Oh yes, the types.
How you take in information. There's like the rebel, the obliger, the something and the something. That's a free test, and then she gives you more information. Mm-hmm. And I'm the one. I even forgot my own name, but I'm the one where it's about, how good are you at keeping commitments to other people versus keeping commitments to yourself?
Oh, right.
So like the rebel is like, well, I don't want to do what they say and I don't want to do what I say either. My type is, well, I don't want to do what they say until I sort of have decided that I agree and that it's good, but I will definitely keep the commitments I make to myself.
Mm-hmm.
So with other people's advice, like, well, let me see. So that's my natural tendency. Do you want to look at the questions and the victories that you submitted last time that you weren't
here? I feel like I'm in a different place.
Oh, okay.
A little bit.
All right. Then we definitely have to.
Yeah. I mean, the victory is like from being able to just listen and do the good advice.
But I did want to celebrate that for your workshop, you recorded a welcome video, and then you've been recording information for folks to have like prior to the day you show up to all work together. Mm-hmm. And that's been well received.
That's it. Well, really, you think Raquel? Raquel's in the workshop.
Oh.
She's watching the videos.
So my initial reaction was, pardon my language, oh shit, homework. Right? Which that's exactly where I went. And then I said, well, no, it's not homework. This is part of the class, you know. But I think it's great, actually, because there's time between receiving it to think about it, you know, and take it in and ponder it. And now, so what I do is, cause I have to do a crazy dance because I'm in my present, if you will, housewife companion mode. So I can't leave him alone all day. That's not fair. So now what I do is I listen to it and then I take a walk and I ponder it. Mm. But I think it's really very, very helpful things. Even though I read them or known them before, it, you know, when you're in the present, then it's like a refresher course. And your videos are right on. They're not too long and they give us plenty to think about. So, you know, congratulations. Otherwise, I hate homework. I would have quit. I'm kidding.
Oh, good. Well, that's great. This. Thanks, Raquel. I'm really happy to hear
feedback.
That.
Real yes. Feedback. Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
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 So
congratulations. And I'll still let you in now that you are agreed that I give fantastic advice.
I know.
Raquel, did I see your hand up?
No, not really. I was waving and saying hello.
Okay.
And I've been away for a while between, you know, the end of the year and the holidays and whatever. I did listen to the last session just to be a little sort of present. And so I can certainly say that my victory is that I don't know how I pulled it off, but I managed to get into my thing, Karen's class, and I'm glad that I did. It's kind of like one of my goals for the new year to at least get a jump start on writing. And I'm fine and I'm safe and I'm healthy, so all's good. I'm gonna try and continue with the cash flow and abundance bound for a little while longer, because I find them both helpful. So we'll see, but so I'm fine. I just came to check in and say I'm present. I'm still here. I haven't, you know, just disappeared from the universe and, you know, haven't quit yet. So, and happy new year.
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure. I'm so glad that you're working on your writing.
Right.
Like you're turning the focus on that, because I know that you've been, you know, you're connected to it.
Yeah.
You're actually activating it. And that color looks great on you.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
So I would get all my clothes in that color for you. Looks great.
Thank you. Well, yeah. I did make a decision to save What's Your Story for later in the year so mm-hmm. that it wouldn't interfere with this now. And I have a couple of people who are interested. So if I get the critical number, then I'll do it summer, fall nice. Kind of thing. So that's it. That's my update.
All right. I love it. Thank you. Thank you for it. Hi, Elizabeth. I'm not calling you out. I'm just saying hi, but if you would like to say anything.
Hi, I'm just here. I had hoped to have some stuff prepared for this and I'm not quite there. So
no worries.
But I'm here to listen.
I'm so glad you're here. Hi, Ruthie.
Hey, morning, Christine. I'm here to listen too while I multitask a little bit.
Okay.
Is everyone here to listen?
Everyone's here to listen.
Okay. It's about buying us.
Go ahead.
So I have Cooking Up Adventures and it's cooking could be a way I earn additional money. Mm-hmm. So my stove, I had carbon monoxide coming out of it. I told my landlord, yeah, I think it's time, even though the gas company fixed it, it's a ghetto stove at this point. So they're not going to get me a stove that I would like. I haven't spoken to them. I'm not pushing yet. I went to shop for stoves. So there's two, and I'm willing to pay for it and then just sell it when I leave or do whatever I need to, whatever. I just wanted a decent stove that I could cook with. So, and this is no big deal, but there's two versions of the same exact stove. The newer version will come out $150 more than the other. The newer version has convection option and air frying. The other one is just a standard oven. I'm not sure if there's any other bell and whistle attached to that. So I don't think I need convection, but I don't know because I always go for the cheap option. So if this is an investment in my business, how should I look at making this decision? How would you suggest I look at it? Because thank you, Karen. People who have convection, they're like, I don't really use it. But, you know, it seems to have all these, oh my God, chicken is so moist. Rah, rah, rah. So, but I do have an eye out on possibly earning through this oven. So with any equipment purchase, how should I look at it? Should I get the cheaper one first until your business grows or what? Just in how I should look at this.
That's such an interesting question. On the one hand, the upgrade, would you have to wait for the new stove to come out or are they both out right now?
Oh yeah, they're both out. I looked at both of them yesterday.
Okay. So the upgrade is not that much more.
$150 more.
Especially when you consider like, you know, all the, to get the oven switched out and blah, blah, blah. If you're thinking of reselling it, then the fact that it has convection and an air fryer makes it a little more special. So you could probably get the $150 back.
More easily.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it is an investment in that. Yeah. I mean, it's a piece of equipment that you will utilize versus like a car with heated seats. It's like, you can do it. Like, okay. In LA, I should say. On the other hand, I usually fall for like, well, you know, do I really need all that any other thing? Is the model okay? Or do I want, you know, and it's different for every decision, but I think in this decision, since it's not that much more, if it was $250 more, it's not that much more, you know, it would be good for you to know what the difference is between convection and an oven, like what's the chicken in the oven and what. So you now will have that piece of knowledge about like, oh, it is better. And then that will help with the resale.
I think that's the clincher right there. The resale opportunity will be greater if it has that bell and whistle, whether I use it or not.
Possibly, but yeah. And it's just so not that much more.
Right. Okay. Thank you for helping me think that through, because I usually default, nope, got to be cheaper.
So do I. Yeah. I mean, I have to be sold on the thing that I need the thing. I was annoyed when there's no base model. Like, yeah, but what? I don't need this with the printer. Just what's the...
Right. Exactly. I don't need a color printer. Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you for helping me think that through.
You're welcome. I'm glad it helped. That was an interesting question.
Thanks.
Karen.
I have a question about... I watched Miata's the end of the year thing where you assess everything that you did during the year. And I've started this process, but I'm going to just write down highlights from the whole year, because when I do that, I find, oh, that's actually more than I thought. And I was thinking about grouping things in terms of zones.
Mm-hmm.
So that I would be able to see the overview of, because when I'm always casting ahead about the zones, it's always so, you know, oh, all these things can get done. And then they don't get done. And then it's kind of disappointing. But I wanted to really look at what did I do in each zone and which zones were not really getting much activity.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to get your thoughts on what else I could be looking at or just how to organize that in a way that would be encouraging and get me to do it.
Okay. So if I understand this correctly, I believe Miata was having you guys look at your year in terms of relationship and health. Is that right? And like finances,
mm-hmm.
those kind of, that's what you're calling zones. The zones.
Yeah. Okay.
Of your life. And you're saying, you're asking me for like, where are you running into trouble looking back at 2021 and filling out the really good things that happened in each of those zones?
Just kind of your take on that process and what, you know, I guess I do have a little bit of trouble just sitting down and doing the task of it.
Mm-hmm.
I started, but then I got on to other things. But I know it's going to be illuminating.
Mm-hmm.
And I want the information. And I want to be able to gauge better, like, here's things that happen with all the obstacles that we've all had this past year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just more realistic going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more reasonable.
Okay. What do you think? What is the one, like the biggest thing, the one thing that you will gain from doing the task of this review?
I think I'm going to see proportion.
Mm-hmm. And how would seeing the proportion be valuable to you?
I think it might explain some things of, well, if I haven't been giving that area attention, that's why it feels that way.
Mm-hmm. And then how with this data, how would you use that data then for this next year?
I guess I would look at, okay, if I haven't been putting energy into these areas, what's going on with that? And maybe get more support.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the reason I asked you those questions is because those answers speak to the bigger why that you need to remind yourself of when you're sitting down to do the task.
Mm.
Like, yeah, but I'm doing this to get data, to see my life from a bigger picture perspective so that I can then make some adjustments during 2022. And the reason these kinds of reviews are so valuable is because when you don't do them, two things come up in your life. One, you just keep taking your emotional temperature. How are things going? Well, I don't know. They feel like they're going okay, or oh, they feel like they're going horrible, when in fact, that could be way off. They're going better than you think they are because you haven't really been paying attention to the things that have been happening. So when you just are taking your emotional temperature in your life, things can get really kind of vague and fuzzy, and things can fall off the end of the cliff and just be like, what's going on here? The other thing you do without these kind of assessments and that allow you to then plot your new year, make adjustments, is you can have a buildup of frustration due to the expectations you've had. Behind every frustration is an expectation, a story that we make up. I think this should be this way. I think this should work this way. Based on like what? We just make up our expectations a lot of times just based on what we want. And then when it doesn't work out, oh, so much frustration. So if you'd like to have less frustration in your life, it's always good to look at, well, what are my expectations and why am I thinking that? Why do I, it's sort of like, why would you think you could get straight A's in every category of your life? Or why do you think you can give 110% to every category in your life? Like how? Kind of impossible. So where are you going to give 80%? Where are you going to, what are you going to dial back to 50% this year? What can just make do with 30%? And then the year after that, do those ratios kind of need to be readjusted? So it's just a way to keep, to have more influence, positive influence over your life, not control. We can't control our lives, but we can definitely have influence over our life, but we don't know kind of what's going on and what we're doing and how we're making choices, then you have less and less and less influence. Mm-hmm. So kind of understanding the purpose and the value of the task can make getting your butt in the chair to do the task easier. It's like, oh, I'm doing this so I can have more influence over my life. And I think all that aside, it's really, really good to do a year-end review of the different categories of your life, because more often than not, you're like, oh, well, that went better than I was thinking it would. Like, I did a lot. I did a lot. And what's funny is that people like yourself, Karen, who are smart, competent, capable, goal-oriented, we're the ones who don't actually pay a lot of attention to when things get done, because we're just like, on to the next, on to the next, on to the next. We are the ones who need to slow down and go, oh, right, I forgot I actually did that. Whoa, okay, yeah. Instead of thinking, oh, well, you know, the people who really need to pay attention to what they're doing and not doing are the people who aren't doing anything. No, it's the people who are doing a lot that aren't acknowledging and sitting in it for a minute and going, good job, me, with a shoulder injury and a pandemic, like, good job, me. Yeah. And then you can ask yourself, you know, how did that year feel? What was the texture? And what things do I want to change about the texture so that 2022 can have a slightly refined texture or a different texture? Yeah. Does that help? Was that?
Yes, because I've been thinking about how expectations distort. And I don't like to be on the receiving end of expectations. And so I also noticed that is where the story goes bad with expectations. And I would just rather notice those. So I'm going to make an effort to notice and let go of expectations. I know that. Yeah, I really think that it's helpful just to also get a sense of my point A of where I am now starting this year. And it can get really amorphous with all that downplaying that you're referencing.
Yeah.
And so it's nice to get, like, to gather everything up, like, oh, this is all what happened that can be foundational for me going forward. So that does seem valuable. And then a quick question is, mm-hmm. I know Miata uses the word texture and you use the word texture, and I have like a semantic bump about it. And I don't grab on to anything when I hear that word.
Mm-hmm. other similar ways to say it is the feeling that you have in your life. A lot of times people look at their life just in terms of goals. I want to write a book. I want a New York Times bestseller. I want this. I want that. This is what I'm striving for, which is lovely. Goals are great. But you can write your book and feel heavy and grindy and worried and concerned through the process. Or you can write your book and in a way that feels easeful and flowy and lighter and a little more joyful. Now that's what I call the texture. So for me, for someone who's like, well, I'm going to write a book. It's like, okay, great. And we go through like why and, you know, what's the purpose of it. But then also how do you, what's the texture that you want this project to have? Because what most people think is like, oh, I don't mind having a horrible texture as long as the outcome is then perfect and it makes me feel good. I'll celebrate and pop the champagne and have easefulness then. And there's this quote, which I've heard once, completely forgotten. I'm going to mangle it, but it's something like the feeling you have during the journey is the feeling you're likely going to have at the end of the journey. Mm. So that's why I'm so focused on, okay, but what is the feeling you want to have through this entire project? Because there's choices you can make and things you can put in place and decisions about how you're going to go about it that will give you that texture or not, give you that feeling or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about. The like experience of it. Because you have way more influence on the experience of the journey than what is going to be at the end of that, what the final result is.
Mm-hmm.
You have way more influence over the texture in your life than what happens in your life.
Mm-hmm.
That,
yeah, I like that. And it feels, and
you can
more
pick
like
whatever word resonates with you
for
that. It's like, do you want it silky smooth or rough and like tweedy?
Right.
Scratchy, itchy wool. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. That feels more like a touchstone for me, like something that I would intend.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to do this task. How can I, it's like asking your question, yourself questions, like, how can I make it easier? How can I make it more fun? How can I add a different texture? Same task, different texture. And I just want to say around expectations, because I think some people hearing this might go, oh, but if you like release your expectations, isn't that like Jen just not having any goals? Like you're really, oh, I don't care what happens. No, that's not what we're saying. Goals are separate. Goals are the direction in which you're steering your ship. It's a way to orient your ship. What is all this action trying to lead towards? A goal. The expectation is, oh, and I want to get to that goal exactly like this. Like, okay, that probably won't happen. You know, it's these little demands. Our expectations are kind of like the little demands we have along the way of, I want this to go like this. I want to fill my course by sending 4 emails. Why? Why would you have that expectation? Like, has that borne out? I mean, it could be your expectation. If you have 20,000 people on your list and you have 12 slots, that might be a fine expectation. And it's not that, again, having expectations is neutral. There's a light side to it, how attached you are to the expectation or unattached. And then there's the dark side of like, oh my God, I can't believe it didn't happen exactly the way I wanted. I'm so frustrated. I'm so resentful. Yeah. So managing expectations is really about, are you basing it on anything? Is that just a story? How did you come up with this expectation? Different than a goal. Just wanted to say that. Anything else?
That's great. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, you're very welcome. Really good questions. Raquel?
If I can, with your permission, chime in. A dear friend of mine recently gave me a gift that has me do a similar exercise. Okay. And she's done it for many years. I'd say easily 8 to 10 years. And it helped her when she decided to start her voiceover business. I was there when she had the aha. And so she gave it to me this year for Christmas. And I looked at it and I had the same response you did. Oh my God, we're looking the whole year. That's a lot of work. So this one tip and one recommend and then offer. I broke it down into 3 months at a time. So that was 4 sessions, maybe 35 to 40 minutes. And then it made it easier. And the other thing is you don't have to write down everything, just the things that are salient, that are big or different or whatever. And I have finished the process. So if you want to have a session, just you and I offer it, we can make it and I can give you some other tips that could be useful. But it is, you know, assessment, of course, is always good. And it's helped me with a lot of the other things that I'm working on this year. So hang in there.
Nice. Thank you. Thank you. Gregory, let's do this. You had 2 questions and I'm going to go, we'll start with the second one first. So let me read your question. So Gregory, I'm never going to remember to keep doing this. Gregory, Cashflow Kitten and your side biz, personal training and coaching. So you're currently seeing a female client at your gym and you guys work out together once or twice a week. You train her, I should say, once or twice a week. And you had, you know, mentioned to her that you're looking for referrals for your new 6-month program. And she seemed interested in doing that for herself. Oh, I want to meet with you once a week and have you do workouts, plan workouts for me in between. Mm-hmm. She asked, you know, can you do that for me? And your knee-jerk reaction was, well, that costs more. And you wrote, which I'm glad I said that because I'm not just going to write up workouts for people who aren't paying me for that service because you work at the gym and she's getting a $110 session, but you're giving 40% of that back to the gym. And so you're thinking, should I go back to her with a pitch for a 6-month program that includes some of the work? Should I develop kind of a hybrid program? You know what? We're going to do both of your questions at the same time because you've been reaching out to people for referrals and mentioning that you have the 6-month program. And then you've been getting questions back from people about like, oh, well, could you do a 3-month instead of a 6-month? Could you just do a session with me? Like all the things, which most people get back when they put out an offer and was like, well, can you change it just for me? And you're like, well,
it wasn't necessarily like change it just for me. Like one specific person, like my past therapist, we parted ways and like made a switch, and but we're still friendly and like text every now and again, and he thought it was a really cool idea, and he just like started asking questions it just in case, and like mm-hmm. for me I'm like, do you want to train with me? Or because he like lives up the block, he didn't say that, but yeah, he's making it seem like in case I do pitch this stuff, you know, I just want to know like, are you doing anything else, you know? Just trying to get like all the information.
Right. And that led you to think, oh, should I have like a rate sheet on hand with some options? Like how do I approach this?
Yeah.
Such good questions. And I'm really happy that we're talking about this because mm-hmm. It will help other people too. Mm-hmm. Okay. I mentioned this previously, but I want to say it again because it's really important. There's different advice and guidance for different situations. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to cash flow, there's 3 basic situations someone could be in and asking me for advice for. One is they're working, what they're discussing with me is actually their full time business. This is what they do for their money and their passion and everything. Karen's in that situation. Like she is a writing coach. That is what she does full time. Then there's you who who are like, well, no, I have a voiceover acting career. That's the thing I really want to be doing full time in my life. But while that's not yet full time, I'm interested in having a side biz over here that earns cash flow, but that is secondary to my acting and that is lean and takes up as little time as possible, producing as much profit as possible. The third situation is what I call a cash grab. I just need to make money. And usually it's for a specific reason. I have to get my wisdom teeth out. It's going to cost $4,000. I need $4,000. And then it's just like, great. What can we do to get you $4,000? The thing about cash grabs is that ideally and really only for a limited amount of time and for a grab for a particular amount of cash, because the trade-off you're making for a cash grab is I'm going to use every single hour to work and I don't care how much work I do. The money's the important thing. I had dental work once, came out of the blue as a surprise, $3,000 that I needed. And I just revived organizing, which I was kind of tapering off, but it was like, hey, everybody, sale. I will do this. I'm going to half my rate, book anytime in this month. But I worked like every day and I was so tired, but I got the chunk that I needed, but that's unsustainable. And there are a lot of people who do cash grab after cash grab after cash grab trying to pay the rent. You can't do that. You cannot do that. So I know that I'm speaking to you in a situation where you do need money. Like, it is imperative that you start bringing money in. Mm-hmm. But that is a truism because, you know, acting and voiceover work really took a dive during the pandemic. The gears of the industry have started to turn, but they're turning a little slower and it's going to take a while for it to ramp back up. Mm-hmm. So because it's going to take a while, you actually really, I feel it's very important that you look at the decisions you're making in terms of this personal training as a side business that you can have for 5 years if you need it, that you can stop doing and bring back whenever you need it. You know, this is something that you'll really have as an asset versus a cash grab. Okay.
That's really what I like visualize it as down the road. Cause like fitness and working out is just a part of my life. And like, I love it. Do I love personal training, like hours and hours on end for like not as much as I'd love to be making? No, we've talked about this in the past. If I were making, if I were making more money each hour, yeah, it would be fucking awesome. Pardon my language, but like, yeah, that's the reality. But if I'm talking visualization, and I know in like some of the stuff that you and Miata have done in terms of visualization, it's not about like things, right? But for me, it's like have a home, have a garage gym that is like mine, that like I like have the equipment that I use that like I think is right for people to use, infinitely scalable, and like people will come to me. I make my coffee, I wake up, I go out into the garage that is like clean, pristine, nice looking, and like this is where we work out. This is like my business. I can make money in this. I can work out in this. It's my space. And I would love to have that as like an asset for as long as I want to do it.
Yeah. And then when you don't want to do it anymore, you can have someone in there doing it for you and you're taking the 40%.
That's true. Yeah. Just have someone renting it out. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. I know that we're on the same page about this. I just wanted to break it down so that someone understands there's a different dynamic to just a cash grab than the things I'm going to recommend to you of proceeding with this because you wanted to actually be a side biz.
Right.
And sometimes the problem also with the cash grab, especially if you're doing it too often, is you're then using all your energy to just make that money. And there comes a time where you have to stop and find another way to make money just so you, or get money, not even make it, just get some money, loans, whatever, you know, borrowing, so that you have a minute and a breath and a bit of space to start creating the side business money. So, because what I want for you, as I've said before, and that we're working on, is for you to get, every time you land a client, you get a chunk of money. That's what gets you ahead. They're not paying per session and they're not paying per session. They're committing to a length of time and they're giving you a chunk of money.
Yeah. Yeah. So even if, and that's something I've learned just in my experience doing like in-person personal training outside of the gym, because like when I'm at my gym, they do pay for a chunk, but I don't get that chunk right away. I only get the chunk when I check them out of the session. They do pay, they do buy a chunk. Their card gets charged for the 10 sessions, but I only get paid per session like that. In the past, I've done individual sessions with, it was a cash grab where like people were in town from Taiwan and like wanted them to come to their fancy gym building and do it per session. And in hindsight, they bailed a bunch. I was like chasing them down for money. It was a lot of money, but that was a cash grab. But in hindsight, like anytime moving forward, if we're going to do like sessions, it's up front. It's like, if you want to do, I'm not going to do individual sessions with you. I'll do like 10 sessions at a time or five, six, whatever you feel like you can commit to financially, you pay that up front, then you're in, then you're not, you can't cancel. Like, it's like, you're either doing this or you're not. Cause I'm not like chasing you around and, you know, sitting in an empty gym waiting for you to show up and then being like, you owe me 150 for this. You know, it's like up front.
Yeah. And for those of you listening, the reason that's important, how you get your money can really put a dent in your profit or not. If you're chasing money, that's your profit getting lower and lower and lower and lower because you're doing admin. More admin means less profit.
Yeah.
That's why it just needs to be very clean, very clear, and either upfront or right at the end of the session. It's so funny. I had so many organizing colleagues who would do organizing sessions and then go home and type up an invoice and then send the invoice to the client. And then I'm like, why don't you just get a check at the end of every time you go to their house? That's what I did. Like, I want, you know, last 10 minutes of the session, give me some money. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe they were like invoicing. I'm like, because I swear, I think they were doing that because they thought that's how business is done. That makes me look professional.
Yeah.
But because I was approaching organizing as a side business, I'm like, I just want the money as fast as I possibly can with as very little overhead as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So that's the concept of why you want the money easily and if possible in a big chunk at a time, because it's less admin. So it's your business. You can do whatever you want. You can, if a client comes up to you and was like, hey, I want to do stuff. And you're like, God, I would love just the money. You can make whatever deal you want with them. I, however, am going to encourage you to stick to your guns, to decide on how you want to work and hold out for the people who want to work like that. Okay. Because that's where the money is.
Yeah.
Because if you're kind of rearranging things and customizing it for everybody, that's admin. Even not for everybody, but it's every time you customize, it's admin.
Yeah.
Which means lower profit margin. Okay. So if you want to have a 6-month, and a 3 month, that's, I think, as far as you should go.
Yeah.
And I think your 6 month currently it's 3,000. Mm-hmm. I think your 3 months should be 2,000.
Okay. I was going to have I think, let me just say something first. Then I want you to say more about that.
Okay.
I was like, 3 month, I can just condense it and just do two in-person sessions a week, because it's basically just cutting it in half. Because like, I had the impression that if someone wants to just see me more, I feel like that's the thing. It's like the experience that I'm having with like the person I'm doing barter with, and like the girl, the woman that I do for one or two sessions a week, like when they're left to their devices, like it's hard for them to work out. They have to like have me in the room.
Right.
They have to like know that they're going to see me and like me just like there, you know. It's the thing that has them stick to their commitment. So while that's challenging, because it's like, that's a lot of my time and energy, and like, I'm trying to keep this lean. If I were going to do the 3 month, I would just do two in-person sessions a week as opposed to one, and just like same costs. It's just
great.
Cut down with more time, you know, and like, I'll give you one or two workouts per week on your own rather than, does that make sense?
Yeah. That's totally other way to do it. Absolutely. So then, every time you book a new client, it means $3,000 for you.
Yeah.
And then their choice is whether they want a 3 month experience for that or a 6 month experience for that.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
And here is where the money lies. It's not in the workouts. It's not in the customized work. It's not in the workouts you're doing together with them. And it's not in the workouts that you prepare for them to do. That's not where the money and the growth of this business, that's not where it's fueled by. The reason they're engaging with you is because they have resistance and they need accountability.
Yeah.
And the better you get at helping them with their mindset, which means helping them recognize the resistance, unpacking what's behind that, what stories are you telling yourself? There's two sides to you, the one that wants to work out and the one that doesn't. So the one that doesn't was really loud on Tuesday. What was it saying? Let's look at what it was saying to you, and why did you believe it? And how can you pull your brain and stoke the fire of the other side of you that really wants this?
Yeah.
And then the accountability of knowing that you are there and you're tracking them. And maybe you have them do a check-in before they do the workout. Like if you're like, okay, Christine, we're meeting Tuesday and Thursday, but you need to also work out Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So maybe Monday I send you a voice message, or on if you email or text or however you want to do it, or Voxer, of like, okay, Gregory, just put my shoes on and I'm heading out for my, you know, hike and blah, blah, blah. All right. And then you can send them a little message back, you know, I hope it was great. You're amazing. Yeah. I hope you did it. And don't, you know, here's what I want you to think about on that walk. Like, and maybe there's something you give them every week of like, here's a quote, and I want you to think about that during your workout on Tuesday.
Yeah.
It's that extra pixie dust that you're able to sprinkle in regards to their spirit through this process, not just the physicality of what you guys are doing together.
Right. Okay.
And I want you to pay attention as you start to get clients on what they, and you may already know this because you've been training people, you know, for a while, like what are the common places people hit resistance? Why do they quit? Why do they hit plateaus? Why do they, and how can you help them over that and through that. Because the better you get at being a coach, the quicker the referrals will come, the deeper your relationship with the people will be, and the better results that they'll see. You're already a good trainer. And if you can get some muscles around the coaching them through the mental part of this, that's the key.
Okay. I have another question. Mm-hmm. If you want to, I want you to keep going because you're on a, yeah, you're on a roll.
No, you go. It's good. I know.
But like, I feel like my questions that I wrote were answered. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like have a price sheet, spell it out, a little thing that says we can do it this way. We can do it this way, but this is what I do.
Yeah.
And you have to fit yourself into that or just work with me in the gym. But on the other hand, if you have low hanging fruit that just like, hey, let me pay you some money and have you work out, you can make an exception to the rule. I'm not, you know, for the cash. So I'm not against that. But there are $3,000 clients out there. And I want you to find them.
I think like when it comes to anyone that I'm already working with at the gym, that is not necessarily working with me at the gym because they like the gym. They're working with me because it's me. Mm-hmm. Ethically, I don't want to be like, hey, well, like come work with me. And, you know, outside of here, I'm not going to do that. But like for this one woman, I feel like if I just, you know, do some math, I can like be like, if you're interested in doing a similar program like that, like pay this chunk, I'll take X amount of dollars from this, put it into your individual in-person sessions at the gym cost, because right, there is some equipment, and like her coming to my gym here in the building is a little further. She'd rather, it's like easier for her to get to this place.
Yeah.
I wonder if I can just like use a percentage of that to like pay for essentially like a rental fee, you know, for, and then just keep the rest. I feel like I can do that and work it out with my boss and be like, yo, this is a client that I have that I did not get through you, that I got on my own. We're going to work together for 6 months or 3 months doing one or two sessions per here's your money for those sessions. End of story.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of the money that she pays me for like coaching and workouts to do on her own. Right. I mean, I feel like that's something
you can do. Don't tell him how much she's paying you. It's none of his business.
My boss. Yeah. Yeah. No.
Right. The only thing he needs to hear about and or negotiate is the amount you're paying him.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be based on what she's paying you.
Yeah.
And then have you signed contracts that have any verbiage in them that says that wouldn't be kosher or?
No, I know one of the other coaches does something similar. My boss is a woman, by the way. everyone does that. I love it. There was nothing specific that says that it's not kosher. And she's relatively like, she's open to, you know, okay, negotiations and things like that.
Great.
And I'm sure I could spin it up being a way that's just like, it's just a little bit more consistent for the client, because she can be flaky sometimes, the client, in terms of like just individual sessions. So I'd rather like lock her in for something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then the other question becomes your cancellation policy.
Yeah.
And rescheduling policy.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about that?
I have a 24-hour cancellation policy. Like if you don't text me within 24 hours of the session, the in-person session, you get mm-hmm. charged for it.
Okay. Is that what you do with people through the gym and not through the gym? That's how you've done it, 24 hours?
That's how I've done it, through the gym and not through the gym. I'm like, have I been like super strict with that. No, like things come up. If it's like the first time someone's doing it, like as long as it's relatively advanced notice, but if it's like 10 minutes before our session,
No. 24 hours is decent. Okay. Yeah. And the 24 hours with these clients who are working for you through your program, there is no cancellation. It's just a matter of rescheduling.
Sure. Yeah.
But, and then you can decide, do they get a week to reschedule? If we can reschedule in the same week, that's cool.
For the in-person sessions you're referring to.
Yeah.
No, I don't have a specific policy for that. But the rescheduling, I usually like try to handle right away when someone is like, it happened last week. My acting teacher that I MC once a week, and he was like, mm-hmm. Wednesday, my car needs to go in the shop. Wednesday morning is the only time I can bring it in. And that was the same time as our session. I was like, can you do Thursday? And he was like, yes, I can do that. And it was
okay. Great.
Simple. Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's chasing money is one thing that eats up admin or eats up profit by adding admin. The other thing is scheduling. Mm-hmm. So you start, and then if you hit a snag where like this is out of control and people are like, feels like they're taking advantage, it feels like, so just write out a clear policy, do your best to hold people to it. And then if it needs to be adjusted, there's lots of different ways to do cancellation policies or rescheduling policies. It could also be, I know from listening to that podcast, I recommended the money sessions with a therapist. There's this one therapist who you get one cancellation/rescheduling per 6 months or per year or something. It was like, you get one. Mm.
Wow. Okay.
And then you just eat, they just eat the session. Like then they just can't, don't.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. But therapists are a little bit different, but not by too much. Because you've got a certain amount of time in your week for this, and that's the person's workout time. And okay, but that's something that can be looked at later. So create a policy, create your pricing sheet, create the structure and the rules around how this works. Okay. And then you asked, so you haven't posted somewhere like Abundance Bound, you're not even sure exactly what to post. What do you think you would post inside Abundance Bound?
So I guess just similar to like the texts that I've been sending people, right? I've kind of like condensed it down. I have like an email version of the outreach, but I've kind of just like condensed it. I think I'm just like nervous too. That's really what it is.
Yeah. It's that exact email thing. You want to give people enough information, and then you're just announcing it. Hey, I just wanted to let people, and you're not doing this in the cash flow section. You're doing this in the open forum
section. Yeah, we're like Ruthie posts.
Yeah, we're like everybody daily and posts. Like,
yeah, right. Is that cool? Okay.
Yes. You want
to. Yeah, and then like I'm not putting like pricing and stuff in that, right? I'm just like saying,
you don't have
to. This is what I'm looking for. Like this is what I do. Reach out to me.
Well, let me ask you a question. If you saw a post from somebody who was like, hey, I'm opening an organizing business and I'm looking for people who are interested in getting their home offices in order, would you want to know the price? Like, would you like that?
Or would reach out and be like, hey, that's awesome. I know that people who post stuff that, yeah, you're right. People who post stuff that I'm interested in, like, don't really put like, here's the price. It's like, if you're interested in that, reach out to me. We'll talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, the price is a natural question people have. So I'm never opposed to putting prices. I know all the arguments for not putting prices.
Right.
So it's not a deal breaker. If you would rather not, don't. Mm-hmm. But if you want to give all the information, do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think since you're sort of going, I'm doing this new thing, I'm looking for clients who want to make this, who want to have this kind of experience with me, 3 months or 6 months training. Yeah, have them reach out. This is some of, and you want to put a little bit, because you have to imagine that the person reading this has no clue of who you are. So you say, I've been a trainer for blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just give them the information they would need to pass it on to their cousin who just the other day said, oh my God, I want to get in shape for 2022.
Right. Okay.
And they'll pass it along. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. My last question is in, also in kind of like dovetailing off of this prospecting stuff. Like I've been, rather than like going to my gym to work out, because I like, I have programming that someone else sends me because I don't like to write my own workouts. It's like, I hate doing that. I'd rather someone just tell me what to do. I'm like practicing what I preach.
Normal. But,
yeah. I've been working out a lot at my building's gym, just with like dumbbells, treadmill, like what's here. There's plenty of stuff here. There used to be a dude that like was offering personal training. He had like a, you know, flyer up in the laundry room everywhere. Like, should I do that? And just like, I feel like I should do that. And just like open up like 3 slots, like a day for like, if it's like 2 to 3 hours, it's literally like downstairs, one-on-one, like, and just see what happens.
Oh yeah. If I lived in a building that had people and I was an organizer, every single person in that building would get some sort of flyer from me saying like, hey, I can do your place.
Now, I don't know if that's like kosher with the building.
I don't know.
Like, I don't know if that's kosher with like the building manager. Do I just like shoot first and apologize later?
I do often like that approach.
Yeah. Just like,
do you guys have a handbook or like homeowners association to have like
CNC? There's no like a homeowners association.
Right.
So there's no, like, it just says like, there's rules that like,
what are the rules?
There's just like rules in the gym. It's like you're allowed, like, you know, there's only a couple people allowed in there at a time. There's no one has like asked me about, no one has said anything about like personal training clients. And I know that dude had the flyer up and like I've seen him in there, like personal training people. Yeah. So
okay. Okay. Yeah, stick a flyer up in the laundry room. Now, the only thing that I think a building might be like, oh, you can't do this, is if you're receiving money for a service and you don't have liability insurance and somebody gets hurt.
I have like my own personal liability insurance for fitness, for like when I go to someone's house. It's like, and like I would have them sign a waiver. I have everyone sign a waiver.
Yeah,
same. I have my insurance in case anyone gets hurt. Yeah.
So they can't sue the building. They can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And frankly, I've gotten injured in that freaking gym because of like old equipment. I like cut my finger on a freaking nail that was like sticking out of the bench and like pouring blood out of my hand. I was like, you guys gotta do something about this. But like, I know that not a lot of people use the gym. And when I'm in there, I'm using it and there are people in there and I'm like, there are people who could use my help.
Yeah, I would do it totally. Mm-hmm.
So there's the flyer in the laundry room option, or do I just like make up flyers, roll them up and put them on people's door handle? Is that too much?
I think everyone uses the laundry room, right?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Essentially. Yeah. Most people, I would hope.
Yeah. So try that and see what happens.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And
any specific bullet points that you think I should have on that?
Yes. Sorry, you don't want it to be just like, want to lose weight for 2020. Don't make it look like a sign that you see stapled to a telephone pole.
Right.
It should be, hey neighbor, I wanted to let you know that Hi, or should I say, hi there. I just wanted to let you know that one of your neighbors, me, is a personal trainer with blah, blah, blah years of experience who would love to help you meet your fitness goals for this new year. And bonus, literally 0 miles commute. If you're interested, contact me here. One of your neighbors in this building.
Yeah. Cause like, you know, I'm down there with like people and seeing people like kind of flail and struggle. And I just want to be like, introduce myself, yeah. But it's also yes. Like, should I have a photo? I'm like super friendly to everyone in the building. My wife.
Yeah. Put
like,
your photo for sure. Yeah. Hi there. You can even hand write this. So it's all like nice and warm and fun and have an arrow pointing. That's me.
Cool. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when you're in the gym, introduce yourself. Yeah. Stacey Baiman, whose podcast I put up in the resources section of the Creating Cashflow Dashboard. She teaches sales to life coaches. And her main thing is meet someone, tell them you're a life coach, offer to help them. Tell them you can help them. Like, that's it. It's like, open your mouth to people and say, hey, I do this. When I started my organizing business, there was no Google, there was no websites, there was nothing. I literally had to start telling people, hey, I am a professional organizer. I had a business card. That's all I had. So it was like, you just have to start telling people.
Yeah.
So you introduce and go, I don't want to intrude. Like, I just wanted to let you know, if you had goals this year that you really wanted to work on with this, I'm a trainer. I've been training people in LA for blah, blah years, and I would be happy to work with you. It's great. There's zero commute to our gym. So, you know, just let me know if you were interested. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Then have something that has your contact information on it.
Okay.
A little card or whatever.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Done. I'm doing that this week.
Yeah. So this is just about telling everybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yes. And it is about you reminding yourself, there are people for whom $3,000 is not the issue. They don't have a money problem. They have a fitness problem. They have a resistance right. problem. They have an accountability problem.
Yeah.
They're out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good stuff. Very proud of you. So happy you're doing this.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Oh, Regina. Regina, you're here. Thank you, Gregory. Let's talk about the stuff. Okay. Victory woman. So I believe I shared your victories last time, but just to recap, Regina is a cash flow cat. She runs Peaceful Pets, Reiki and crystal energy sessions for pets, their humans, and the spaces they share. And you finally did that panel on which you spoke, and you felt like you handled yourself really well. And you fielded questions. You felt like you gave helpful tools and connected and everything. And the head of the support group texted in the middle and said, you're so articulate. Oh my gosh. Holy wow. You offered a discounted rate to her membership. And you felt like when it ended, you had climbed Mount Everest. That's so exciting. And then after the holidays, you did a virtual session for her and her dog. And she enjoyed that and was like, oh, I want to interview you for this thing. So it sort of like started to snowball.
Yeah.
So congratulations, first of all, on all of that.
Thank you.
I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. Twice you wrote, so right before the panel, you said, although I was nervous and scared, I made sure to shore up my mindset and then took the plunge. And then just after Christmas, I did a virtual session for her and her dog. I was a bit nervous, but again, I shored up my mindset. So how did you do that? What did you do? What do you mean by I shored up my mindset?
Well, you had sent me Dana Middleton's tapping EFT kit for auditions, and I have been doing that with every audition that I experience. And then I did sign up for her boot camp in December and or November, December. And so I now, because I feel like everything makes me nervous and scared, but now I have this routine kind of, I've put this in place that I know I have a little something I can lean on or go to. Like, I don't have to sit here in this gross, uncomfortable ball of ickiness. And so I will do the tapping with just saying out loud how I'm feeling, and then try to then do another round of the tapping with giving it a positive spin. Like, these things could be a win-win situation. And, you know, this is normal that I feel this way. And, or I'll just pull up her audition tapping kit and I'll swap out a couple of the words to make it fit the panel. That's basically what I did, was her audition tapping thing for the panel. Because it's a form of performance, I guess. So,
of course,
yes. So it's like a quick. It's quick, and there's some you're tapping your acupressure points, and it's easy. Like, it fits me very well. So, thank you for sending that to me.
Yeah, it's Dana Middleton at thealignedartist.com. Yes. And EFT is the emotional freedom technique. That's what it's called. Mm-hmm. And you're tapping your fingers on your energy meridians, mm-hmm. and kind of taking that energy that's all like, I don't know about this thing, and breaking those connections, mm-hmm. and then making new connections around I'm safe and secure to do this thing. It's okay. You're kind of calming your body down. And it is definitely something that helps. I took her boot camp as well.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's up with you now?
I still have to email a bunch of organizers. My focus kind of had to switch. Most of my focus switched to finishing my parents' house and getting it rented. And it did rent for the month of December.
Yay.
Yes. And then it got rented. We have a new guest checking in this tomorrow, and they'll be there till May 1st. And they're nurses. So if they're trying to get a contract, so it may extend longer than that. So it's good. So I just spent a week up there kind of deep cleaning and fixing some other things in the house and getting it ready for them. So now I can pull focus again back to where I normally have it, mm-hmm. just back on this Peaceful Pets and my acting stuff. And I got cast in a short film for a friend of mine. A friend of mine is a great director. I met her through a film festival. And so, yeah, she's tossed me into the lead of this little film. It's really cute and funny. And that happened while I wasn't focusing on any of this stuff. You know, that is a real good lesson right there.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you know, gripping so tightly to it. So yes. And I really appreciated like noticing that, like, I do have peaceful pets to go and focus on. And I swear, I think when I'm having fun and doing other things, I, you know, an audition pops up So I'm noticing that a lot more lately because things are a little less stressful and kind of dust settling. But yes, I do want to start researching podcasts and kind of going after that. I know there's some previous recordings of our coaching sessions where you kind of tackle that with some other members that I'm going to go through and listen. And if I have specific questions about exactly what I'm doing, I'll bring it here. But yeah, I feel like doing the having done the panel, I'm like, afterwards, I was like, oh, okay, that's like a taste of what podcasts will be like. And like, I want more. I got to get to doing this stuff. So yeah. And the cool thing is it's really fun because I'm so into this crystal Reiki stuff and I'm so into animals. Oh my God. So I love talking about all of it. And I found that out by doing the panel, which I was afraid of doing, but it was so amazing. And also it gave me the experience of like, oh, wow, this is what it feels like to put myself out there in the world in this like different, it's totally different way that I'm putting myself out there. Like I have some kind of expertise. I have like a little, wisdom or authority, I guess. It's like, it's like, oh, this is what it feels like to put yourself out there as a successful person. That's so different for me, because I think with the whole acting thing, like if you putting myself out there as an actor, the usual question you get is like, oh, what have you been in? Like, right. And I don't have the answers for that yet. I mean, I do my smaller projects, but not like this thing on Netflix yet or whatever people, household names people know. So it was such a contrast to that. And I think, of course, that's only going to help me in putting myself out there in that way. Right now, the way things are in my acting career, I got that taste and I definitely feel like, oh, that's totally shifted things in my acting life too. Like even just within, I think that's the only place it really counts. And so, you know, lo and behold, I get this little short film lead and, you know.
Offer only.
Yeah. Yes!
Like, I'll consider it.
Yeah. So I just feel like I know I'm here in this place right now because I hopped into creating cash flow and I kept up with Abundance Bound. And so, yes, I think too, like staying clear, like just staying in touch with my money relationship has created more clarity in other parts of my life. And so, yes, I just think being a part of the community and being here, working with you, Christine, and the membership, the community has, my life is totally different than where it was a year ago. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm different, but like in a good way. Better way.
Usually you change first, then your life changes, and then the way your life changes informs new changes in you. But it usually, when we track all of this stuff back, it starts with you making shifts internally first, which was you trying things and doing things that were scary and figuring out the wreath thing and like putting yourself out there. And what I love hearing you say is that, wow, I really am feeling this energy of being an expert and putting myself out there as an expert and feeling people believe me and notice that that is here and in you without you having 47 clients yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
It's because you made decisions about how you were going to decide to show up in the world. You put up a website. You started telling people that this is what you did. You got connected to someone. You got put on a panel where you had an audience. It's like, this is how it works. And I think a lot of people make the misconception of like, oh, well, I can't own that energy until I've had 47 clients. Or you can just decide to have it and then go get 47 clients. Like, the clients will come. The more you have that energy. Yeah. I just decided to call myself a professional organizer. Just like we all just decide to call ourselves artists. One day you're like, I'm an actor. You know, very often way before you've received a degree or any kind of certification from the world that they're taking you seriously. First, we have to go, oh yeah, I want to be an actor. And then you just start being an actor in your head. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm so glad to hear that, Regina. I really, really am. So happy for you. Mm-hmm.
So one thing I do want to do in the future, I think, is because I was talking to one of my clients who runs a pit bull rescue here in LA. Mm. I didn't even know, because they don't talk. They don't tell me a lot of stuff. People reach out to me when they need me to pet sit. So they don't keep me abreast of their lives or what's going on. But they have a clinic, kind of like it's sort of like a shelter / veterinarian clinic. So they can pull really sick dogs from shelters and heal them, you know, get them well. And I was really afraid to tell her what I'm doing now with Reiki and Crystal, because she's very like linear, no nonsense, and Western medicine only. And I finally like squeezed it out, and I was like, I'm doing this now. And I've been hesitant to tell you because I didn't know if you'd think I was a weirdo, and I know it's very woo-woo, but I have wanted to like volunteer it to dogs and shelters. And she was like, I'm like, I don't know if you would be comfortable with that, but maybe I could come by occasionally and like just sit in the shelter and do like a group Reiki for all the animals there. And she was like, oh my God, yes. She's like, actually, I think some dogs could really use that. Because she's like, with some of these dogs, I am desperate to try anything. So, we kind of figured out one of the dogs that she had fostering at her house. It has this, his health is a mystery and no one can figure out what's going on. And so she's like, if you want to try it on him. And I did. And I sent her my little post session breakdown and everything, and she really liked it. And so, yeah. Oh, sorry, they're doing construction here. So I just, is that okay that I know we're like, we want to, I feel like in Creative Cash Flow, we are mindful of giving away things for free too much. So I just want to make sure that.
Right. However,
it is something I could post about on my Instagram, you know?
Oh, totally. You want to look for things, if you're going to give away for free, to be strategic about it. And this sounds like the perfect place to do that, because if they can see and like what you're doing with the dogs, I would assume that when dogs get placed, Because they people adopt from them, do they? Yeah. So when they get dogs get placed in the new homes, they might
yes,
and hopefully fact, say you should have a session with Regina to like, you know, make this a smooth transition, which makes me think that all the other shelter, you're not gonna volunteer at all the other shelters and stuff, but you could say if you have a problem dog or you have a dog that, you know, blah, 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 I would be happy to do one free session. So you guys could maybe see what I do. And because I think a lot of people who adopt new dogs, as they integrate them into the family, the ones that maybe have a little bit of trouble, I could really help with. I'm just looking for more people to know that I exist as a resource. So after you get done letting organizers know, I think your next thing is all of these adoption agencies for dogs.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay,
cool.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And thank you for the space to share the victories and acknowledging that. Thank you.
Victories are the best. So you and Katya hit it off?
Very much.
I thought so. Thank I can't think of two so more kindred spirits than the two of you.
So awesome.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah, thank really you. Lovely, lovely person. Thank you so much.
Awesome. You're so welcome. You're so welcome. All right. Thanks, everybody. I believe we are back on Sunday next week. We are. So come back if you feel it would help. All right. Talk to you later.
Thank you, Christine.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.